for tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2017 Spring Camp Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday afternoon, April the 15th, 2017. Gene Williams is the speaker of the service teaching on The Winds of Change.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again, Lord God, for allowing me to come and minister to your people. And Lord, again, I step aside and give you free course to do whatever you like to do today, Lord. Lord, I pray for unusual service today. I pray that your spirit will rest upon us like never before. Now, Lord, I'll be careful to give you all the honor and all the praise that goes to you in Jesus' name. Amen. I know the Holy Spirit wants to do something. I don't quite know what it is, but he's going to do something. I woke up this morning with a headache, and the headache is still kicking. But I told that headache, I'm going to teach that word today, and whatever God do, it's okay with me. So you just keep praying for me. Amen? In Jesus' name. Thank you, in Jesus' name. And I receive that. Amen, amen. We know it's warfare, and I'm ready for it.
Yeah.
You better be ready when the enemy comes, right?
That's right?
But I want to talk with you today about the winds of change. And this teaching I prepared over maybe a month or two ago, and it really touched my heart. It ministered to me. And most of the time when I'm standing before you, and before I bring anything to you, it has to minister to me first before I can release it to you. But I know God wants to do a new thing in us. And I know since all of you have been coming, God has already started the work. And I know God is going to complete the work. And, you know, I often tell myself, this is a deliverance camp.
Right.
And every time we get up here, deliverance is going to take place.
Yes.
So every time each one of us speak, you might hear something repetitious. And if you keep hearing something over and over again, God is speaking and trying to tell you something. He's trying to tell you something. But again, I want to talk with you about the winds of change. Today, we live in a world that rapidly changes. Everything is rush, rush, rush. New inventions, new technologies, new fashions, so much things to change on a daily basis, except us. Technology is being renewed every day. So I ask the question, why aren't this flesh being renewed every day? The world is continuing to change and change. Are we allowing the Holy Spirit to change us from day to day? New fashions. Us women love fashion. But are we changing? When I got ready to come and teach, I had another outfit, and I heard the Holy Spirit say, no, don't wear no jewelry, keep your traps on, go just like you is. I said, okay, Holy Spirit, what are you going to do? You're going to do something. You're up to something. You're up to something. So what I'm saying, being obedient to the Spirit of Christ is very important. Very important. When I was in the world, and all of us have been out in the world doing our own thing, we did it however we wanted to. We did it to the utmost. No one can tell us that we didn't know how to do it. So I say to you today, if you are saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Spirit, why aren't you being all that you can be for Jesus Christ?
Amen.
If we did what we wanted to do when we was out in the world, we should be on fire for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You see, I don't know about you, see, when I was out in the world, I did it the way that I wanted to do it. But when Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, saved me, I promised him that I would speak his word and I would love him like never before. Because when I was in the world, I did it all. We partied. So it's time to party for Jesus Christ. And all of us sitting out here, we all have done things that was not right. None of us is perfect. And we will never be perfect. None of us are. But I believe the wind of change is starting to blow.
Yes.
And it will begin to clean up the mess that is in our lives and get rid of the garbage that we have stored up. Because we have stored up some garbage. We have embraced some garbage. And yes, Nikki talked about it this morning, getting rid of some things. And now you're hearing again from me. So that's confirmation. So God is trying to tell somebody something. God is now revealing things that have been hidden beneath the surface. And we talk about hidden things a lot because a lot of things we do want to hold on to. We don't want to let go. It feels good to us. And we don't want to let it go. But I'm here to tell you, to be like Jesus, to walk like Jesus, you're going to have to let it go. See, some of us, God has called us a long time ago. But the enemy sidetracked us. He calls us to step out what God had started in us and had us to look back at things that we shouldn't be looking back at. Some of you are here. God has given you a ministry. Your ministry has been awesome. You've been praying. You've been fasting. You've been asking for another level. You said, Lord, take me to another level. I want to know you in the most excellent way. I want to know your ways, your thoughts. I want to know how your works work. And the devil detoured you. But I want to say to you today, God has not forgotten you. And where the enemy has thrown you a blow, he is about to let you go. Because I believe that God is saying, I see your tears. I see where you're sorry. Because when I look in your heart, I see the deep thoughts. I see the feelings. I see where you're sorry that you did this. I see that you're sorry that you made a mistake. I see that you're sorry that you gave up on me. But I have not forgotten you. So I want to tell you today, if you that person who have fell short, God has not forgotten you. It's not over. And guess what? It has just begun. It has just begun. But if you allow him to finish the work that he has started, you're going to see the change. The Bible says in Mark, the 4th chapter, verse 22, that there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret so that it should come abroad. So there's nothing that we can do that is hidden from Jesus Christ. Because he sees and knows everything. So I say to you today, don't leave here thinking that you can get by with anything when the Almighty Man sees and knows it all. That should be a check in your spirit. Because when we come here and we get deliverance from day to day, from week to week, from month to month, change should take place. It should take place. Why isn't change taking place? What are we doing? Haven't we surrendered ourselves to the Holy Spirit? Because you have to surrender yourself. Let it go. That's what God is looking for. The wind is about to pass over and blow all the debris that has kept you in bondage. If you want it. It's your choice. And remember, we have choices. This wind, I believe, will be a permanent fix. That you will have no remembrance of your past. The Lord wants to stir up things and remove things that are standing in his way. God wants to breathe new life into a deadness and a dryness and restore resurrection power in you. He wants to resurrect you. This is what he wants to do. He wants to change some things. He wants to do a work in you. The Bible says in Psalms, the 103rd chapter, verse 16, for the wind passes over it and it's gone. And the place thereof shall know it no more. So when the Holy Spirit do a work in you and it resurrects you, there's no remembrance of your past. That's what the word says. There's no remembrance. He wipes it clean. No remembrance. It's gone. And I want to share this with some of you. I used to smoke years ago. Years ago. And when I hear people say, I can't quit. I can't stop. I had the patch. I tried everything. No. when you're sick and tired, and when the Holy Spirit comes, and He dwells on the inside of you, smoke has to go.
Amen.
So nobody can tell me that you can't do it. Because when you surrender it and the Holy Spirit comes, it's gone. It's a wrap. It's a wrap. It's gone. Because that's what He did for me instantly.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
So that tells me when He looked at my heart and He saw my heart, He saw a woman who was ready to say yes, who was ready to give it up. So He delivered me instantly. So what I'm saying to you today, you don't have to go home with none of the stuff that you bought here. So if you lay at His feet today and you're honest about your deliverance, He will set you free. It's no tricks, no games, no plots, no schemes that I can do. Because I can't do the work. Only the Holy Spirit can do the work. None of us can. Only the Holy Spirit does the work. He wants to see a yes in your belly. He wants to hear a yes in your spirit. And see, when you begin to say yes to the Holy Spirit, then He comes in and He moves the way that He wants to move. He clears the land. Hallelujah. God is light. And His light wants to shine once again in your life. He wants to awaken a spirit of revival in you. And this wind will cause a change to come about. Where there was once darkness, He wants to shine again. So where there was darkness in your life, God wants to replace that. He wants to be the light. So will you allow Him to be the light in your life today? Because once He comes into your heart and He becomes the light, change has to come. You will no longer be the same. You will no longer be that person again. The Bible says in 1 John, the first chapter, verse 5, this then is the message which we heard of Him and declare unto you, the God is light, and in Him no darkness dwells. None. There is no darkness in Him. He's radiant. He's light. He's pure. And He's holy. Let's talk about some winds of change. First of all, God is change. And He has the power to change us. And Luke, the 18th chapter, verse 27 says, and He says, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. So what's impossible for you is possible for God. But are we allowing Him to come in and change the impossible things that we cannot change? Because He is change. Basically, what I'm speaking and what I'm saying, that we cannot do anything in our own strength. God is the strength. God is the power. He is the wind. He is all of that. We are being changed into the image of Christ, causing our interest in the things of the world to become less mature in Christ. So when we begin to change like Christ, the things of the world, we have no more desire for it. It becomes less interest. Because the more we become like Him, the more we want to be like Him. The more the things of the world don't even mean anything to us anymore. We don't care about the big cars and houses and all these big things that we desire. We all have areas we would like to grow and change in. We get frustrated because of challenging circumstances, maybe in our relationship, it may be in our finances, it may be in our attitude. We get frustrated from day to day with the cares of this world, our marriages, our children. Our finances might not be up to the standard where we want to be, so we're frustrated. And then when you look over here and see someone who living half right, they being blessed as your eyes will make you think they're being blessed. They being blessed, they're getting all the blessings and this happening and that happening. I'm living my life for Jesus Christ and I'm praying and I'm fasting and nothing is happening. Keep praying, keep fasting, because something will happen. And one thing I learned about Jesus, He is a permanent fix. So when He fixes something, it's permanent. It's not a temporary thing, it's a fixed, permanent thing. But if you allow Him and you wait on Him, then you will see the manifestation of His glory. Many times, We want to change thousands, kids, and even ourselves. And even the way we look. I don't like my lips. They too thin. They too big. I don't like my nose. You know what you're saying? Jesus, you made a mistake when you formed me. Because you didn't make my lips the way that I like them. You didn't make my nose the way that I like it. So you made a mistake. So I got news for you. He makes no mistakes.
Amen.
See, I can tell you this because I was a victim of that. Because the devil told me that I was not good looking. I was ugly. I was not pretty. And I had to remind him years ago that when Jesus made me, he made the original copy. There's none like Gina never would be. See, I had to learn to love myself. I have to learn to love the way he made me, not the way people want to see me. And that's the problem with us today. What people say, what people think, this is what we care about more than what he thinks. But we got to get away from that. What Jesus said, that's what's important. We have the tendency to look at someone else's life and think, they got it going on. In reality, their life is really a mess. Their outward appearance always seems to look good. Always. Don't be fooled by the enemy. You can't see the inner demons that a person may be experiencing. The only thing you're looking at is the outer appearance. That's why Jesus said, man looks at the outer appearance, but he looks at the heart. But see, if we start seeing people the way Jesus sees them, then we'll start talking differently about people. See, it makes me wonder, are we seeing the things the way Jesus sees it or the devil? Because the devil has the critical spirit, not Jesus. So we need to go back and examine ourselves and make sure that we got ourselves right, because that's what's important. I have heard people say, I want to be like this person. I want this big church. I want this, I want that. I want to be anointed like that person. I want to see demons cry out. I want to see God just flow. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I also see, when you say that you want to be like man, you saying that you want man demons. You want everything man got. Because to be like man, you're going to get everything he got. But to be like Jesus, you're going to get the real thing. So be careful when you say, I want to be like that person, because it's a price and a package that comes with that deal. You take on all their demons. Oh, y'all looking at me like, what? Won't say that again. And Isaiah, the 43rd chapter, verse 19 says, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. So in your wilderness and in your desert situation, he's going to make a way. He said he's going to do a new thing. So for God to bring change, he has to do a new thing. For God to fulfill that promise in Isaiah, he had to bring a change. So if he did it then, he has to do it now. When God does a new thing, that means that there are changes about to take place. That means that he wants to redirect some things. He wants to correct some things in you. And Romans, the 12th chapter, verse 2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So when his mind, did you tell me when his mind changed, things begin to change? I begin to think right. I begin to talk right. I begin to live right. Things begin to align itself in alignment. That's awesome. That's awesome. God is into transformation business. When he gets hold of a person, life changes. You no longer the same. And 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verse 17 says, old things passed away and new things have become new. See, the old has to go away. We have to cut it off before the new things can come. Because God is changed. Now let's talk about people. People find it difficult to change. And Daniel, the 2nd chapter, verse 21 says, He changes the times and the seasons. He changes the times and the seasons. Every one of us seems to be naturally resistant to change. There's something about change that affects us. We don't want to change. We want to stay in our old same way. No change, no nothing. And this old saying says, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Don't try to fix it. Change is something that is going to continue to happen from day to day. When we think of the seasons, spring, summer, autumn, winter, God has built into our natural existence. And He's still causing change within us today. And as we get older, things are going to change. When we look in the mirror, we no longer see a 20, 30, 40-year-old woman, and I'm going to leave it at that. And we can see that the wrinkles begin to come. The body begins to break down. It's no longer that firm, youthful way that we used to look anymore. Because we get older. We was built this way. We was made this way to change. So what we do as women, and some, yes, men do too, we go try to find an anti-wrinkle cream and whatever we can find to get this wrinkle tightened back up and get this thing all fixed up. But it only can do so much. And the only reason why it can only do so much, because we were made to change. So when we can accept that we done had it, the 20s, the 30s, the 40s, they gone. Oh, they ain't coming back. So we need to... Okay. It's not coming back. And I don't know about you women, but I had kind of a hard time for real. Yeah. I'm like, it's got to be a cream out here that do this. God just hasn't revealed it to me yet. And I'm still waiting on that secret. Got my glasses on. Amen for that. We all need some help. And we have to face it. We have to face it. I told my husband when I met him, I'm going to make up. So when it come off, don't be surprised. Just stay with me. It's the woman you met, baby. Feel her. Just a little bit, you know. Okay. Get back on track. In 1 Peter, the first chapter, verse 24 says, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, just as man, just like a flower. If you don't water that flower, and you come back, it has a wither. It changes. We change. We change jobs regularly. People used to stay on jobs for years and years and years and years. Now you see people change and skip and hop from job to job to job. Things just change all the time, all around us. So all this change brings uncertainty, fear. Feelings of spinning out of control. Why? Because so much of the change we experience in life is beyond our control. And we can't handle it. Fear begins to sneak in. What is going on? What is happening? But God made us this way. And in Genesis, the 2nd chapter, verse 7, say, God formed man from the dust of the earth. So what you expect to happen to us? In 1 Timothy, the 1st chapter, verse 7, in the Amplified Bible, reads, for God did not give us a spirit of fear, or timidity, or cowardice, of craving, and cringing, and fawning fear. For He has given us a spirit of power and of love and a calm and well-balanced mind and disciplined self-control. And I say, God has not given us a spirit of fear. That click. What does that tell me? Spirit, fear is a spirit. Meaning it can be cast out. So you don't have to hold on to that spirit of fear. It's a spirit. It can be cast down. That was revelation knowledge right there for you. So if you are bound by fear today, you no longer have to be bound. Because it's a spirit and it can be cast down. And Malachi, the third chapter, verse 6 says, "But I am the Lord, and I change not. Therefore, these sons of Jacob are not consumed." My God is a God who does not change. He is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And he will never change. Let's talk about the church. The church has a difficult time resisting change. Why? Because the church wants to stay and conform their way. They don't want to change. They want to stay in the old wicked way. In the book of Acts, it documents the struggle between the Holy Spirit and the man running the church. Man running the church. Over and over again, God tried to move out through the church to win lost people. But the Christians, the conservative Christians, believers, who were not willing to change. And that is still happening today. God wants to come to the church, and he wants to change the church, but they are not willing to change. They want to go about their own way, doing their own thing, and they're wondering why signs and wonders is not following. Nothing is happening, because God wants change. Luke goes on to talk about the great length of demonstrating that God practically had to thresh Peter into preaching to Cornelius. You'll find that in Acts the 10th chapter. Three times Peter answered God's command with the odds of saying, "No, never, Lord." What provoked such a spirit of resistance in Peter? God was calling him to change, and he didn't want change. And is God calling you to change today? And you're resisting and you don't want change? You're satisfied where you're at? You're content? Jesus chastised the religious leaders of his day because they couldn't read the signs of the times. And yet today, those signs seem to be fasting, rushing now. The church still cannot read the times.
Amen.
They don't understand the season we're in. They don't have no idea what is going on in the world. And matter of fact, they don't even care. But we have to watch and pray and be worthy that we can even escape some of the things that is coming. And that's the word of God. So change is always taking place. The church has a problem with change. My dad did it this way. My uncle Paul, Bull. Everybody did it this way, so I'm going to keep it this way, because this is the way that it's supposed to be. And God is continually to speak, and the church has turned a deaf ear, because they don't want to change. And 1 Chronicles chapter verse 32 says, "And of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times." They understood the times, the season. They understood when the cloud come, when to move, and when to stay, when to move, and when to stay. But could we understand the time, the change, the season? And Mark, the 7th chapter, verse 9 says, "You have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions." We have a fine way of setting aside commands of God. We put God's commands aside, his laws, to implement what we want, our traditions. And we refuse to set them aside. And say, "God, what you want, whatever you want to do, this is your church." You know, and I have a problem with when I hear people say, "My church." I already know what's going on over there, because it's your church. But see, if it was Jesus' church, then it'll tell me something a little different there. See, because your church is formed the way that you want it to be. But see, when you allow the Holy Spirit to come in and do what he wants to do, then it becomes his church. You're not bound by a program. Whatever the Holy Spirit says, you do it. And this is what God wants. He wants you to take the programs and set them aside and let him come in and do what he pleases. Then you will begin to see the manifestation of the pure Holy Ghost power. Because he's in control. And when he gets in control, things change. You see a difference. It's a difference. You know, and I hear people say, "Oh, I want the glory, Lord." It's not wrong with you wanting God's glory. But when the glory comes in the house, things change. Amen. And if you got all kind of sin and all these different things in you, you better get out of the way. Because when the glory comes, you're asking for something. So be careful for what you ask for. Oh, I didn't mean to say that, but that's the Holy Spirit. We have put our personal comfort ahead of the needs of the Holy Spirit, and He's not pleased with that. You know, I see a lot of young folks saying, I don't really want to go to church. They do that same old stuff. I'm not saying that you got to conform to the young folks, but we got to get on board. These young folks looking for signs and wonders, looking for the fivefold ministry. They want to know, what am I? If God called me as an apostle, prophet, teacher, evangelist, pastor, what did He call me for? I know I'm here for a purpose, but I need to know what I'm called for. I'm not here to just sit and warm a pew. I'm here to do the work of the Lord. And He has called me for such a time as this, and I want to know what my timing is. I want to know what He called me for. I didn't come to sit. He said He made us for one reason. That's to demonstrate the power of the Holy Ghost. And if you're not demonstrating His power, then you need to be asking yourself something. It's a purpose that we hear. It's not to sit and warm the pew and give all away. I'm not saying don't give the tithe and offering because you're supposed to give that. But God has put you here for a reason. And you need to search out that reason. And I'm not saying leave your church. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you seek God for directions and you ask the Holy Spirit to show you, what do you want me to do? If this is the right place, what is my destiny? What do you want me to do in this world? Because I want to know. Don't waste your time sinning and not doing that. Amen. Be on fire for God. He's ready. He said He got 7,000 more heaven bound to Baal. He's waiting on that. So if you're sitting back there in the pew somewhere and you're getting dried up, you better come up and get ready and ask God, help me, because I want to be used of you. Because He's waiting. And He's ready. What are you doing? And Matthew, the 9th chapter, verse 17 says, neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottle breaks. And the wine runneth out, and the bottle perish. But they put new wine into new bottles, are both are preserved.
Amen.
So you can't put the old wine in the new bottles. So where are you today? Where are you today? And I read a little bit more about the wine. The problem with the wineskin is that as they get older, they become harder and more brittle. And they aren't flexible like they used to be. If you put new wine into an old skin, the new wine will still ferment, which means it was releasing gases. Gases was flowing. The gas will cause the skin, the old skin, to burst. Because a new skin still had its flexibility, the gases released by the wine didn't cause a problem. So if it had new flexible skin, it didn't cause a problem. So if God is going to do a new thing in His church, He needs flexible skin that He can pour into His new wine into. He needs skin that's flexible, that can change, that is willing to move with the signs of wonder, with the wind, with the change. He looks for flexibility. So what about you? Are you willing to let go and do what He wants to do? Are you willing? Are you willing to say yes? It's time to let the Holy Spirit lead. Do you believe that? Change is about yielding to the Holy Spirit. That's what it's about. Yielding to the Holy Spirit. The only way change won't take place if you don't yield. Responding to the Holy Spirit in obedience is the key. Obedience is the key. Your willing submission to what the Holy Spirit tells you to do. So whatever He tells you to do, be obedient to the Holy Spirit. He teaches you to listen to the Father. Communicating the truth in a way you can receive according to your spiritual maturity. So He speaks to you on the level that you are. So what that tells me, He speaks to us on different levels according to our maturity in Him.
Amen.
So He may speak to me differently, and He may speak to you differently. But it's the same
Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Jesus. I feel him up here. God getting ready to do something. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence.
Yes.
Hallelujah. In 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, verse 10 says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Paul was able to endure such heartache and persecution. The Apostle Paul had learned to listen closely to the Holy Spirit and draw the encouragement he needed from him constantly. How did Paul do so? He learned to walk by the Spirit. In Galatians, the 5th chapter, verse 16 through 25 says, talks about the Spirit. Talks about walk in the Spirit. And ye should not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. Works of the flesh are manifested. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envying, murder, drunkenness, raveling. Then it goes on to say, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Temperance. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. So if we live in the Spirit, then we must walk by the Spirit. When the world look at you, can they see these characteristics? I believe they see something different. So what I learned a long time ago, if I'm going to present myself as holy in the house of the Lord, then it must represent on the outside. See, it can't be one way in front of people and then another way when we're not around people. That scares me. Because that tells me a lot. If you have that kind of treacherous heart where you can be one way and then be another, that's devastating to me. That's scary to me. Because something is wrong here. Because if Jesus Christ lives on the inside, you're not going to be able to pick him up and put him over here when you want to do something differently. And then put him over here when you want to do it right. Because if he lives on the inside of you, there's a check in your spirit that calls you to walk right at all times. I don't know about you, but before I came to the Lord, I used to get a check in my spirit. Something's going to happen. Don't go this way. Don't go that way. And in my spirit, man, I get a check. And I go, what is going on, Lord? What are you trying to tell me? But every time I ignore that check in my spirit, something happens. So what that telling me? The Holy Spirit is speaking all the time. Are we listening? I remember one incident. I heard the Holy Spirit just as clear. He said, don't turn to the left. Go to the right. I'm driving. I ignored it. I turned to the left and had an accident. Ever since, that inner voice that's on the inside, when it speaks, I listen because it directs me and it will not lead me wrong. See, that's having connection with the Holy Spirit, being in tune with the Holy Spirit. Because when you're in tune with the Holy Spirit, he will guide and lead you through all truth. So do you have a relationship with him? Because if you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, he will guide you. He is the guide. And he will not lead you. So walking in the Spirit means obeying his initial prompting. You submit to him as you feel him pulling you in a certain direction. As I just gave an example to you. He tugs you. He tugs at your heart to take a particular course of action. Even if you don't quite understand. What is happening? Why do you want me to go this way? Why not this way? We want to go tit for tat with the Holy Spirit. Why not this way? Why not be obedient and say, okay, I surrender. You know better than I do. That's what you're looking for. He may have you to relocate, convict you, turn off that TV. He may warn you about a temptation to sin that you may be unable to resist. He may tell you this is your last time, that I'm going to allow you to be on that internet in the wee hours looking at pornography. This is your last time. He may speak to you and tell you this is your last time that you're going to tell about, because I'm going to deal with that. But if you ignore that and you believe, oh, he passed last time, he'll do it again, that's a dangerous, dangerous walk to walk on. The Holy Spirit may guide you to pursue a route or a risk. So let me go back to this and just kind of check in the Spirit. He may convict you to relocate. Now, why do you take me back there? I don't know if some of you are here today and the Holy Spirit is tugging your heart about a relocation. You're not sure. You're a little fearful. You don't quite understand. You don't even know what that is. But he is telling you it's time to relocate. See, when he spoke through my husband about a relocation from Jacksonville, Florida to the Atlanta, Georgia area, I had to hear from him. My husband said, oh, yeah, we leave. And I said, well, I don't have any other church in the spirit. But see, what was happening here, I didn't want to give up my luxury. I didn't want to give up this good job that I was the boss. I gave the instructions. See, well, it wasn't so more about relocating, it was about giving up what I had. But when Jesus spoke to me and I got that check and that peace in my spirit, I told my husband, yes. I gave my resignation. And here I am, and they came up to the house. What a wonderful world. Praise the Lord. Oh, Lord. The wisest thing to do is to submit his plan, regardless of whether it makes sense to me. See, it didn't make sense to me. But now I understand. And you know, back in the olden days, I used to hear my grandmother say, you will understand it by now. Oh boy, how those words, I can hear them now. Oh, they make so much sense. Because when we're young, we think, what is she talking about? But when you get older, you're like, oh, that makes sense now. Now I understand what you're talking about. Yes, I got it. The Spirit of the living God knows all things, including the future. And his direction is always for your benefit. I got another check in my spirit. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Some of you are here. You're worried about your finances. You say, I trust you, Lord. I trust you for all things. But I want to tell you today, God knows the secret for all the money.
Yes.
How do I know that? When I moved from Jacksonville, Florida, to the Fairfield, Georgia, Atlanta area, I had no job. I left this nice job. I cried out to Jesus, and I prayed. And God began to reveal to me some secret money that I had no idea about. And when I began to search it out, God blessed me. So I stand here to you today. I don't work for man. I work for Jesus Christ. And I pay my own way wherever I go. And it's the Holy Spirit that does the work. Because one thing about the Holy Spirit, when you leave him to guide you, he's going to make provision. He's going to take care of you. You don't have to worry about nothing. And I sense in my spirit, the Holy Spirit is saying, somebody's here have been in a bad relationship. Has been in a divorce. Things have been taken away from you. You have lost many things. You don't understand why this happened. You gave your all. But I hear the Spirit of the living God says, wait, I say, on the Lord. Wait on me. Wait patiently on me. I see your tears. I see your struggles. I haven't forgotten you. Trust. Trust. Trust me. That was not on the paper. So when it comes from the Spirit, he's talking. when you obey the prompting of the Holy Spirit. The voice of God becomes stronger and more prevalent in your life. You recognize it. You recognize that voice. You begin to see spiritually realities that only a person who is in constant communion with the Father can perceive. Only you will know that. But you have to be in communion. And Psalms, the 25th chapter, verse 14 says, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. And he will show them his covenant. He will lead you and guide you. So the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. So that tells me that if you fear the Lord, you're not going to be able to do any and everything. Because if you fear him, you fear what will happen to you. You won't want to disappoint him. You want to please him. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So you get wisdom when you fear the Lord. So we need to ask God for a holy, reverent fear. And Psalms, the 23rd chapter, verse 4 says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will feel no evil, for thy art with me. Thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me. So when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you should feel no evil because he is with you.
Amen.
That's what his word said. So you should not fear death. You should not fear nothing because he's with you. That's what he said. So when you walk through those valleys, through those disappointments, through all the discouragement, he's with you. He got you.
Amen.
It's okay. Don't fret. Don't panic. It's just a test. And Psalms, the 27th chapter, verse 1 through 3 says, 1 and 3, the Lord is my life and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? Though a host encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war rises against me, in spite of this I shall be confident. So bring it on. Because I'm going to be confident in the Lord. So whatever he brings, you should be confident that he got your back. You should not fear what the enemy wants to do to you or what he has done to you. You should have confidence in the Holy Spirit that he got you. There's no failure in God. No failure. And Psalms 46, chapter verse 1 through 2 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried to the midst of the sea. He is our refuge, our strength. In the times of trouble, a times of disappointment, there is nothing too hard for God. There is nothing that gets by God. See, David says in the word, he had to encourage himself. So when you get into a situation, you're going to have to take the word and apply it to your situation. You're going to have to encourage yourself that I can go through this battle, I can fight this battle, because God is with me. He is my confidant. He is my confidant. He is my strength. He is change. He is the wind. He is the sun. He is the rain. He is I am. That's when you plot that word and you encourage yourself. I don't know about you, sometimes I have to get in the mirror and look at myself. And I have to encourage myself. Gene, you can make it. You can do this. You can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. He got you. And I begin to get strength. I begin to feel like I can conquer the world. And I begin to go and be about my Father's business. That's what he wants. Strong, mighty men and women of God. That's what you're looking for. Those that will not fear man. That will fear God. And will do what's right.
Amen.
In Jeremiah 17, chapter verse 7 and 8 says, blessed is the man that trusted in the Lord. And whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters. And that spread out her roots by the river. And she shall not see when he comes. For her leaf shall be green, and she shall not be carried and slow down, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielded fruit. Blessed is the man that trusted in the Lord. You mean to tell me I'm blessed when I trust in the Lord? When I give all, everything to Him? I'm blessed. My hope is in Him because I trust Him. I can be like a tree, and a tree, you cannot move it. You barely can tear it down. So if you're like a tree planted, and it can't be moved, this is what He's looking for. People that cannot be moved easily, discouraged easily. Those that is rooted, grounded in Jesus Christ. And I'm wrapping up. So if you yield to the Holy Spirit, guide, and depend on His ability rather than your own or someone else's guidance, the Holy Spirit will enable you not only to live a life that is pleasing to Christ, but also to experience God in ways you never thought possible. Experiencing God in a way that you never thought possible.
Amen.
So let Him guide you today. And let the wind blow. Blow the drought. Blow the garbage. Blow the debris. And let Him shine once again. Let me get my book. I forgot my book. Is everyone standing? So I want you to just take a moment. I know you've been through this practically the whole time that you've been here. But take a moment and ask the Lord to help you. If there is someone in your life or who is dead or living that you have not yet forgiven, ask the Holy Spirit to help you to forgive them. Whether it's a child, your aunt, your uncle, your mother, father, anybody, just take a moment. And when you finish, you can be seated. Wash my spirit, soul and body, with the blood of the Lamb. I curse every corrupted seed that has been planted in me, and I command it to wither and die. I command every foul, unclean spirit that may have attached itself to me, to loose me, to leave this property, to seek dry ground, and never return. In Jesus' name. I now take back all ground I have given over to Satan by my sins and the sins of my ancestors. And I claim by faith that they are all forgiven and cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. I claim that ground back by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ and dedicate it to the Lord. I yield by faith every area of my life over to the Lordship of Christ and full control of the Holy Spirit. I dedicate my spirit, soul, and body to Jesus Christ. And I claim by faith that I am filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Now I want you to take one deep breath. Breathe in and out. Breathe in and out. Come on, let's breathe these spirits out. Come on, let's breathe them out. Come on out now in Jesus' name. I command every spirit of strife, of wrath, to come out of God's people now, out in the name of Jesus Christ. I command these spirits to come up now in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, strife, envy, jealousy, go now up out of God's people. Come on, let them go now in Jesus' name. Come on, one big cross, call it out. I command you to go now in Jesus Christ's name. Hatred, hatred of spouse, hatred of mother, hatred of father, come out now. Come on, out of there. Come on, leave God's people now and let them go in Jesus Christ's name.
Hallelujah.
Come on out of there. I come against self-pity. Oh, look at me. I'm hurting. I'm disappointed. Come on out of there, self-pity. I put you on notice and I command you to go and loose God's people now in Jesus' name. Come on out. I come against the spirit of fear. So, God has not given you the spirit of fear. The love and power of a sound mind. Come on out of that fear. Go. Loose God's people. Fear of spiders. Fear of bugs. Fear of even going out the house at night. Fear of driving. I come against you. I break your powers. And I command you to go and loose God's people. Come on out of there. I command the spirit of word to come out of God's people. Worry about everything. Worry about how you're going to make it. Worry about the kids. Worry about the job. Worry about everything. Come on out.
Yes, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Yes, come on out of me.
Yes, Jesus.
Come on, none of us are perfect. Come on out of God's people.
Yes, Jesus.
I command you to go.
Yes.
The spirit of worry, come on out.
Yes, in Jesus.
Worry about your ministry. Will I have a ministry again? I lost my ministry. Come on out of there.
Yes,
disappointed.
Yes.
Disappointed in yourself. Disappointed in your setback. Come on out. Out of God's people. Let them go. Come on out in Jesus Christ's name. I come against distress. Distress about everything. Distress about bills. Distress about life carrying. Come out in Jesus' name. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. I come against helplessness. Hopelessness.
Jesus.
Hopelessness. I come against you. I break your powers and I command you to go. I come against the terror by night that terrifies you. That you're afraid, can't sleep. I break your powers and I command you to go.
Yes.
Come out of God's people and let them go.
Yes.
I command you to go in Jesus Christ's name.
Yes.
I come against the spirit of rejection. Rejected
you.
By man. Rejected by mom. Rejected from the womb. Rejected by everybody. Everywhere I go, they reject me. They hurt me. I come against that spirit.
Yes,
I break your power.
Yes.
And I command you to go and loose God's people now in Jesus'
yes,
name. Come on, all over this place. Come on, give me one big call.
Jesus.
Come on, let the Holy Spirit do His work. This
Hallelujah.
Is about you
Hallelujah.
And the Holy Spirit. I don't do the work. The Holy Spirit does the work.
Amen.
Come on out of there.
Hallelujah.
We break your power. And we command you to go. We come against blaspheming. I come against cursing, profanity. We break your power. And we command you to go and loose God's people now and let them go. I come against pornography. I come against you. I come against masturbation. I break your powers and I command you to go and loose God's people now. Come on out of God's people. Out of the lungs. Out of the esophagus. Come on out of the tongue. Come on. Come on.
Yes.
The craving. Craving for drugs. Craving for cigarettes. Craving for liquor. Craving for beer. Craving
yes.
for alcohol. Come on. I come against you.
Yes.
I break
yes.
your powers and I command you to go all over this house. I put you on notice and I command you to go to lead God's people now in Jesus Christ's name. Come on out. Come on out of there. I come against afraid. Just scared. I come against panic attack. Panic attack. Afraid of everything. Afraid of witchcraft. They're going to do this to me.
Yes.
I break your powers and I command you to go.
Yes.
I come against the spirit of witchcraft. The domination.
Yes.
Manipulation.
Yes.
Control. If you can't control
yes.
it, you won't have it. You can't manipulate it, you won't have it. I come against you. I break your powers and I command you to go and loose God's people now. Come on
yes.
over this
yes.
place. Come on out of there. I come against agitation.
Yes,
he aggravates me.
You,
he agitates me. He agitates me. She agitates me. Come on out of there. Come out of the lungs. Come out of the esophagus. Come out of the tongue. Come out of the throat. Come out of the spine. Come on, loose God's people and let them go now. Come on, all over this place. I command you to go and loose God's people now and let them go. Out in the name of Jesus. Fear man. Fear what man can do to you. I break your powers and I command you to go. I come against the spirit of jealousy all over this place. Come on, jealousy. Jealousy of the ministry. Jealousy of how she looks. Jealousy of how they look. Jealousy because of this and that. You name it. I break your powers and I command you to go. The spirit of jealousy, we dethrone you and we cast you out and we command you to go all over this place.
Yes, amen.
We break your power.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
I come against the spirit of forgetfulness.
Yes.
Can't remember nothing. Every time I try to remember, I forget. I come against forgetfulness. Mind blocking spirit.
Hallelujah.
I break your powers and I command you to go. Every mind blocking spirit, up and out of here. Come on out of God's people. You can't remember. Every time you try to remember, the devil steals it from you. I come against that spirit. Blind blocking spirit. Lord, loose God's people and let them go. I can't remember. I burn that spirit. I break your power and I command you to go.
Hallelujah.
I come against tension, nail biting.
Yes.
The tension skin spirit. I come against you. You're biting your nails. Your nails biting. You're nervous. Tension. I come against you. You're biting your nervous. Your nails. You're nervous. Your tension. You don't bend your nails and it's bleeding. You bite them because you're nervous. You're scared. You're afraid. You're tension. I come against you in Jesus' name. I come against the talkative spirit. You talk about everything. I come against you. I break your powers. You don't know when to shut up. I come against that spirit. I break your powers. You talkative spirit. I come against you. I break your powers. And I command you to go and loose those people now in Jesus Christ's name. I come against the loneliness spirit. You're lonely. You got to have somebody. You don't know how to be alone. I come against that spirit. I break your powers. The spirit of loneliness, go and leave God's people now and let them go. In Jesus Christ's name. I come against the fray of airplanes. I can't get on the airplane. I'm afraid. It might crash. I come against that spirit. I break your power and I command you to go. The spirit of fear, we cast you out and we command you to go and to loose God's people in freedom in Jesus Christ's name. We come against marriage breaking spirit all over this house. Marriage breaking spirit. Every time you turn around, you can't keep your husband. I can't keep your wife. I break that spirit. Cast you out, and I command you to go. Marriage breaking spirit, we break your powers, and we command you to go. I command you to go in Jesus Christ's name. I come against the spirit of failure. Every time I do something, every time I put something together, it fails. It never goes through. I come against that spirit of failure. I feel like a failure. I never can do anything. I come on out of God's people and let them go. Spirit of failure, I command you to lose God's people and let them go. I come against insanity. I feel like I'm going out of my mind. Evil thoughts. I come against you. I break your powers. And I command you to go and do something and let them go. Come out of God's people. Come out of God's people and let them go. In Jesus Christ's name. I come against pain in the body. Pain in the back. Pain in the neck. Pain in the leg. Pain in the knees. Come out of God's people. Move down in Jesus Christ's name. All over this place. Pain in the shoulder.
Yes.
Come out of God's people. Pain in the back when it's loud in their back. Come out of God's people. I command you, Lord, to God's people now. In the name of Jesus
Hallelujah.
Christ. Dry eyes. In the name of Jesus Christ. Come out now in Jesus Christ's name. Dry eyes. Come out in the name of Jesus.
Jesus.
I break your powers and I command you to loose God's people. In the name of Jesus Christ. Go in the name of Jesus. I come against cataracts. Go off of people, off of God's people. Come off of God's people in Jesus' name. We break your power in the name of Jesus, in Jesus Christ's name. Come on, all over this place in Jesus Christ's name. We command you to go. I come against craving, craving for caffeine, craving for sugar. I come against that spirit. You gotta have the caffeine. You gotta have the sugar.
Yes.
I come against you. I break your powers and I command you to go. Out of the tongue. Out of the tongue right now. Come on, out of the throat. Out of the esophagus. I break your powers and I command you to go. In Jesus Christ's name. I come against tranquilizing. I come against all kind of drugs. I come against uppers. I come against downers. I come against you right now, and I break your powers. I come against sleep aids. Got to take pills to go to sleep. Got to take pills to wake up. I come against those spirits. I break your powers, and I command you to go and loose God's people now. Come on, out of there. Out of God's people. Loose them now and let them go. I break your powers, and we command you to go in Jesus Christ's name.
Give God a hand clap.
let me just say a prayer over you. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ,
yes.
We come against any backlashes, Lord God. We ask right now that the Holy Spirit will protect your people, Lord God. We pray a fire, Lord God, around
yes.
your people, protection in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Lord, and I pray that you will go before
yes.
them and make every way
yes.
that is crooked straight.
Thank
and I ask right now, Lord God, that you continue to fill them from day to day.
Yes.
And Lord God, that they will have a heart after you.
Yes.
And Lord, every
yes.
word that has been taught here, over this weekend, I ask you, Lord God, to continue, Lord God, to deal with their heart,
yes.
Lord God, that they would begin to say yes to you, Lord God,
yes.
yes to you, Lord God, because we know that you want to do a work. And we know, Lord God, that you are going to continue to do a work.
Yes.
Now, Lord, I thank you for these precious souls, and I give you the praise and the honor and the glory in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
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 Let me just pray one more thing. Lord, we just ask that you bless the food.
Yes.
Bless the hands that prepared. In Jesus Christ's name we pray.
Amen.
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 This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.